Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study on the Eagle Radio Network. We've been gone since the end of September due to Megan, Karen, and I traveling out to Texas, as most people know, but here we are back on the last day of the month, and we're pleased to be here and pleased to see everybody in the chat. I have Karen here with me tonight, but Megan and their household, Steve and Megan's household, has been battling sickness, and it's gone from one person to another, and she'll be joining us, listening, but she will be attending to children and the like, so not joining with us tonight, so we will miss her. I told her if she can, she can chat in the chat. But we will look forward to her being here next week with us. So, welcome everyone, and I hope that if you did not make the journey to Texas for the convention, that you'll avail yourself of the podcasts. And those of us that did, that we'll listen again. So I do have Karen with me. Hello, Karen.
Good evening, Robin.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
How did you survive the storm, Sandy?
We survived. I know that a few of us joined together in prayer against it, and the prayer was definitely answered because our section of Vermont, and I don't know about up your way, but we got some wind and some rain, but that was about it. We didn't lose power or anything. How about you?
Well, that was the same here, and had I not known there was a storm, you know, of that magnitude that we were, you know, that was causing it, it would have been just like any rainy, windy storm that passed through. So it's still wet out there, and I think it's going to be for the rest of the week, but it's also not always raining, so that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it was much less of a storm than Irene was last year for Vermont.
Yes.
So
yes.
Our prayers were answered, definitely.
Amen. And thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
So we're going to actually read for the next couple months the Gospel according to Luke. And it's a one of the longer Gospels. Matthew might be longer, but I trust we'll be mightily blessed in it. Thank you, Sue, for putting the link to the conference audio in the chat. So, Karen, if you would read the first four verses there of chapter 1 of Luke.
For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
You know, that's a it's really a beautiful, I hate to use that word because I know I use it, but first four verses of the Gospel of Luke, because one thing I've really begun to notice when we, during these studies, and we've looked at different people, Old Testament, New Testament, that the men and women of God are always about ministering salvation to those who they're ministering to. And in a sense, that's exactly what Luke is saying here. He's setting down, what does he say? For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. So this is, he's going to write down that, he's going to declare again that which he has heard, has believed, and is most surely believed amongst them. And he's doing that in accordance with verse 4 there, that Theophilus, and the Lord has it in his word, those of us who are reading it, might know the certainty of these things where we have been instructed. That we can be certain and sure that that which the Word of God says is the Word of God. And there was a couple of scriptures that when I was looking at this today, I thought worth bringing up, because in verse 2 there it says, because it says, those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us. So we see here, and it goes on, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, that Luke is a person to whom the word and this testimony and this declaration of Jesus's time on earth and his death and resurrection and instruction before going to heaven, that those who were eyewitnesses did exactly as Jesus said. They brought it to others, and Luke is one of those ones that received it. And when he says that he had perfect understanding, you know, he received it. He didn't gainsay against it. He took it for what it was, and that is the Word of God. And a couple of scriptures, I thought I'd just read them to you, that give testimony. And there are things that we're supposed to be doing, and Luke here gives example of it being done. And one of them is what we call the Lord's Prayer, not the Our Father that most people do, but the one that is recorded in John 17, where Jesus prays for his disciples. And then in verse 20 of that, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And Luke gives testimony to this prayer being answered, both in these first four verses, but in the entirety of the Gospel of Luke, because it is part of God's Word. Another one was in John, again, the 31st verse of chapter 20, where he says, well, actually, I'll go up and read 30 and 31. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And then the last one I was going to read was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and they say, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so we see here in the introduction that Luke set forth to write these things in order. He wrote this to Theophilus, I don't know who Theophilus was, but that he might be certain of those things which he has been instructed in. And that's what we're here to do, is to grow in our certainty in those things which we have been instructed in. And even as Luke, in accordance with the Word of God, you know, God gives it to his apostles, and his apostles bring it to others, and then those others in faith, and in faithfully taking that which they receive, bring it forth to others. And here we see a testimony of that in Luke. So, Karen, would you like to say anything about that before we kind of enter into his declaration?
No, I think that covers it. So we can go on.
Alrighty. So if you pick up in verse 5.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years.
Okay.
And it came to... Do you want me to stop?
Stop. Yeah. One thing worthy of noting here is, you know, these few verses right here give testimony to the Old Testament. And its way, you know, that which had been revealed thus far, because we know that John the Baptist was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and John hasn't entered the picture yet. So the gospel of Jesus Christ has not begun yet, right? In the sense that the New Testament brings it. And so they give us that it was in the days of Herod. We know that Zacharias was a Levite and served in the temple. We know that Elizabeth was also, but she was actually a daughter of Aaron. Aaron being a Levite, but a son of Levi. And they were faithful in their service to the Lord. But Elizabeth was barren, and it's kind of an interesting thing and something to kind of note as we go through chapter 1 here, that Elizabeth was past the time of having children. She was an old woman, and she had not had children. So the hope of that had departed, and that's where Luke begins. He gives us this entrance into the situation that John the Baptist's parents find themselves in. So if you pick up.
Unmute. Okay.
That's helpful.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Okay. So... And it came to pass, while he was executing, doing that which he was called to do before God. I thought that was interesting. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and it was to burn incense in the temple, and of course the multitude of the people were outside during this time praying, and while in there, an angel appears before him. And, you know, I mean, isn't it an amazing thing? He had prayed for a child, and now here he is, an old man, and an angel comes to him and says, your prayer's been heard. Well, first he tells him not to fear, because Zacharias was overtaken with fear, and he tells him not to. For thy prayer is heard. You know, that is the statement of God hears the prayers of those he... There's an acceptance of you when the Lord hears your prayer, right? And so fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, as hard as this may be to swallow in a sense, because the hope of this was well past, it's not the first time a couple who are past the normal age of bearing children are going to receive a son. Isaac being having this same thing happened with Sarah, and Isaac was brought forth. So Zacharias, knowing the scripture, had the opportunity to take God at his word here. And this is the word of God that came to him at the mouth of the angel. And here was a prophecy about this son and his name, and also that which all of Israel, including Zacharias, was waiting for, that he would be the one who preceded that very Messiah that they were looking for. So this is where Zacharias was at. He's obviously shocked, frightened, but he has kind of the wrong answer, we're going to see in a way. But before we get to that, the testimony and prophecy of John. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So that's a beautiful thing. He's telling Zacharias that he is going to have joy and gladness. What a wonderful thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing. For he shall, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. I don't know about you, but there is no higher calling than for the Lord to call you great. That in his sight you are great. And that is the place John is going to stand. He is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's not going to drink wine or strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. That which every parent in Christ desires for their children, and here Zacharias is being told that this is even before the child's conceived, what type of son he's going to have. And then verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I was thinking about this because we know that he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And when you go back and look at that testimony in 1 Kings and see the stand that he had, and he in fact did turn a people who were, the Bible says, halt between the God called Baal and the God of Israel, and Elijah in his actions, which manifested which God was the true God. There, those who, you know, that were disobedient, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, he in fact did that. There was a people that turned at the ministry of Elijah, and John the Baptist is going to come in that very same spirit and power that's going to clarify the truth, and a people are going to be turned back, and they are going to be prepared for the Lord. the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And you know the way it looks when you look at the Gospels, all four of them, and the testimony of the New Testament is how it looks today. You know, it's a bit of a struggle for people to hear the word, to have the Lord show up and confirm his word, and then get to that place where the completeness of that word is fulfilled in them. But we know that this is true, and this was spoken to Zacharias, and we're going to get to Zacharias's answer to the angel next. But Karen, I give you a chance to speak on those verses there.
Well, when the angel was talking to Zacharias, I can't help but wonder what he was thinking, you know, what, you know, all these wonderful things that the angel was telling him that was going to happen. Reminds me of also the angel coming to Mary and the prophecy to Sarah as well, you know, and you know, kind of his reaction here is kind of not dissimilar to Sarah in a way, where Sarah kind of laughed and thought it was, you know, how can that happen? He also, you know, was wondering how that could happen, even though it was a prayer that he had prayed a long time ago that was being answered, and he knew that. It just, you know, makes you wonder, you know, was it he in a kind of a state of shock, or just really amazed? You know, it's just a thought that I had.
I completely agree with you. It would be, how do you stand in the presence of something like that? The one difference between him and Abraham and Sarah is there had been no precedent with Abraham and Sarah. You know what I mean?
And yeah, that's true. Where he has the witness of having read the scripture on Abraham and Sarah and knows that it has been done by the Lord. And that he is going to now be partaking of that. Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't minimize the fact of what you speak, though, because, you know, we should fall, you know, in Ephesians where it talks about where Paul, let me just get there, because it's where he prays that they would know the depth and height and that Christ, let me just read it. I'm not going to read the whole prayer, but in chapter 3 of Ephesians, it says, starting with verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." We don't walk in that, do we? And yet, we serve a God who does this kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? He manifests himself in mighty ways. And yet, we would be like Zacharias more often than not, I'm sure. But he did have the wrong answer. And we know that it was unbelief, because Gabriel calls it that. So if you want to pick up there and read 18, 19, and 20, we'll take a look at his answer.
"And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? for I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
So there you have it. I mean, Gabriel pretty much rebukes him here. I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to shew thee these glad tidings. And, you know, you're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things are performed because you didn't believe me. But they will be. You know, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. It's going to happen. But you don't get to say anything for the next nine, however many days plus months.
And that must have been kind of a funny thing for all the people to wonder, why in the heck isn't he talking? All of a sudden he's dumb for all this time. And it doesn't really say in the scripture anything about what his wife thought of that.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's kind of interesting to me when I read the story of the birth of John and then the birth of Jesus is you have a people, Israel, that is waiting for their king. And, you know, I don't know how much this was spread abroad, but this wasn't hidden. So a man is in a temple. We're going to see in verse 21, they know something's happened in there. His wife, who is past being able to have children, gets pregnant. She bears a son, and when he confirms the name of the child, his mouth is opened, and we see that he gives glory to God. And 3 months later, there is a similar glorification at the birth of Jesus. I mean, the angels come and meet, tell the shepherds all this, and we know that over time, wise men come because they too have been searching the scripture, and they see that this king has been born, and they come to do homage to him, I believe, and so this is not done in a corner. And then, of course, when Jesus is brought into the temple for the dedication, we have both the testimony of Simeon and Anna, who identify Jesus and praise and thank God, both for being able to witness him, but for him. So, you know, people were talking that this had occurred. How far that went, I don't know, but it brought some conversation, I'm sure, as people wondered what this was all about. And then upon John's birth, to see his Zacharias's tongue loosed and everything, this all awakes a people, so to speak, to be attentive and wonder. But then if you look at it, you figure 30 years later is when the second movement comes, when John goes forth. So it's kind of interesting when you look at it that way and see that the people had a movement of God, but to see what it really meant took another 30 years before John was of age to go forth and Jesus was of age to go forth. So
that's a good point. 30 years is a long time, really.
And you can see how easily our natural man, we're so intent upon the now that it impedes our walk in the Lord, I think. And I mean, it's part of our natural man, but we're here in a body. We're here. We have a word that we all have. I mean, we have it right before each of us. We each get to have a Bible. I don't think there's anybody listening that doesn't have their own copy of the Word of God. And here we are, elect you know, over the internet, joining together to exhort one another in the truth, and unto, you know, that faith that God has called us to. And so these things are examples, and we see the movement of God, and we want to be a people that know God and know His movement and look for it. You know what I mean? Instead of being surprised by it, which is going to happen too. I know I spoke with somebody last night and was just so enormously blessed at the rejoicing in Christ Jesus that person expressed. And that's something we should anticipate in us and exhort one another, because it's there for each of us. And, you know, we can see that kind of thing in the Gospels. It's there for us. So, verse 21 through, I guess, 25.
And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men.
So here we have where, you know, something unusual has happened, because the people know that he's in there a lot longer than is normal for the task that he is performing. And then to top it all off, he comes out and he can't speak. And so they perceive that he's seen a vision. So once again, you know, there's a movement here that they don't understand, but it's distinct and there to be seen. And it's kind of interesting, too, when you consider that they were outside in prayer to God. You know what I'm saying? And makes me realize that when we pray, you know, God says pray believing. You know, we know God will show up, right? We know, and not because he is at our beck and call, but because he is our God, and he is there for us, not to do what we want, but to lead us and guide us in the ways that are right. He's always going to show up for his people. And yet I bet these people were a bit shocked at the fact that there was a testimony of the living God right there before their eyes, you know? Now, it was Gabriel that came, but he came bringing God's word. And so after Zacharias had finished his time there, he went home, and in due time, his wife conceived, and we know that the reproach that she had walked in by being barren was now removed. She no longer carried that reproach, but now she was going to bring forth a child. It's a beautiful thing. Sorry that I said that, but it is a beautiful thing.
Robin, I have a question.
Yes.
On verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. And what does that mean, she hid herself?
I think that's a good question, and I'm going to throw out what I think. I do want to qualify and say I am not saying I know for sure. But I think that, you know, there's those first, that kind of like first trimester where you can lose a baby. And I think she established that she was pregnant and that she was going to carry this baby. And then she came forth. Yes, and Bob wrote in the chat, because Davy is down there. Davy said, "We are lucky that we don't have to stand outside and pray. We can go into the throne room." And that's an amen. And that's something he tells us to do. And if you want to read a chapter on it with that commandment, Hebrews chapter 4. But I think she just waited a little before she went forth in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you.
And if I'm wrong, I trust that it'll show up in the chat and I will make sure everybody hears the correction. But without a doubt, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach. So she's received this as a mighty blessing. And so it was. And go back up and see what Gabriel said. He called it glad tidings that he brought to Zacharias. So,
and glad tidings is about as good as it gets.
That's, yes. That's actually the words I think we're going to find, although I didn't double check, that the angels told the shepherds. We bring you glad tidings
of great joy, or to all people, something like that.
Yeah. Luckily, we're going to get there, and people can go forward.
I am not reading it, so I apologize.
Yeah. So picking up in verse 26 there.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible."
And just read the next verse.
"And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her."
Can you imagine receiving that, and that is your answer? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed from her. I mean, that is an extraordinary thing that was just spoken to this young woman. And she believed. I mean,
yes, she
said,
did.
It's pretty extraordinary. So, Elizabeth has been pregnant 6 months, and Gabriel now comes to Mary. And she was a virgin at this time, as we know. And she was engaged to Joseph. And we will find out, or we do know, that both of them are of the lineage of David, which, of course, needs to be, because it is God promised David that this king would sit, you know, would be of his lineage because of David's faithfulness. And I want to go back up here. And the angel came in unto her, this is verse 28, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And then when you go down and to verse 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now, if you look up that word favor there, and the one up there in 28 is a variation on the same word, this is, you have found grace with God. I don't want to undermine that word favored and favor, because this is a, there's only one person that has ever received this particular position to serve God in this particular manner. There only needed to be one, and there only is one, and that is to have found grace to do that, to have been chosen to do that. We understand why people would call her blessed. That is a place of blessing. That was a blessing. But it isn't, it doesn't negate her very need of salvation. And that's why I bring up the fact that this word favored and that word favor is generally translated grace. And as we go down, which we won't get to tonight, but through this chapter, we see Mary herself call Jesus. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. That's verse 47. I mean, she gives acknowledgement of needing a Savior. And it's important to recognize that she stood in the very same need as all of us do, and that is that he would actually pay the price for her sin. I don't believe we're going to get to that tonight, but so the angel comes to her, and she, of course, is highly agitated and troubled, as one would be at the appearance of an angel. It would be frightening. You tend to want to kind of shrink back and not know what was happening. But he right off says, you know, don't fear. You've found favor with God. And then he gives her the prophecy that she's going to conceive in her womb. She's going to bring forth a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God's going to give him the throne of his father David. So this is the promise that all of Israel has been looking for, the coming king. She's being told that she's going to conceive this coming king. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and there's not going to be any end to his kingdom. The fulfillment of the Old Testament is being brought to her, and she's being told that she's going to bear him. She knows all these prophecies. Israel knew they were waiting for this king. They didn't quite understand how he was going to come and what he needed to do, but they all knew he was coming. And Mary's just found out she's going to bear him. And so she says, you know, she asks an honest question. I mean, she's a virgin. How's this going to happen? And because she didn't know a man. And the angel gives her answer. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. And in this sense, I believe we're talking about him in his earthly presence here. His the man Jesus that walked upon the earth. Because we know that the Word, Jesus, was in the beginning. And then he lets her know about Elizabeth, who she hadn't heard about, I guess, that she had conceived in her old age. And the statement, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," which both speaks to Elizabeth's pregnancy, but also to what Mary is going to receive. I mean, if Elizabeth joining together with her husband isn't impossible, well, you know, I mean, how beautiful it is that the Lord could bring forth Jesus from a virgin. And Mary's answer is, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And as we know, that handmaid is a person who has given their will over to another. And she has given her will over here to God. It's the same term as Paul uses when he identifies himself as the bond slave. And this is a choice, and she has chosen to serve God. "Be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed from her. Now that's called a right answer, to receive that which the Lord has spoken, and to receive it in its fullness. And it actually makes me think back to Luke's beginning, where for him to have known the word perfectly, or to have had perfect understanding, meant that he received that which he was given. Mary's is obviously very distinct, but we all can receive the Word of God in its exactness. And that's called belief. So, Karen, we actually are getting close to the end of the hour, so I think we'll wait to go into where Mary goes in and her and Elizabeth's exchange that picks up with verse 39, but I do want you to share your thoughts. And you have to unmute to do so.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between the Zacharias answer and the Mary answer. And the Gabriel's reaction to him and his reaction to Mary. He just, you know, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," and he just departed. Where he had a few choice words for Zacharias before he departed. But, you know, Mary believed and decided to choose to be that handmaid for the Lord. And it must have been really cool to have Gabriel say, "You're highly favored with the Lord." You know, that's the ultimate, I would think.
Yes.
To, you know, have the Lord give, you know, say that the Lord is giving you grace and you're highly favored. That's very, very ultra cool.
Yes, it is something that her walk, I'm sure, standing in that place in its, you know, and there were a myriad of ways in which she had to pass through. It's also good to recognize, because we don't want to give up just because we fail and we fall short. And Mary did. She didn't in this instant, but she didn't get it. You know, she had things to learn. She, like Israel, anticipated something different than what Jesus came to do this first time of coming. And, you know, I mean, to stand in that place, you have to figure she isn't even married, and now she's pregnant. God took care of it. I mean, he came, I guess it was Gabriel, we'll find out, came to Joseph, and Joseph stood and did that which was right. But still, you know, I mean, there was, she had to stand. And I suspect that there was a bit of battle in some of that stuff. I mean, she was just a person.
And she believed, though, because, you know, he told her that nothing is impossible with God. And she believed that and decided that I'm going to choose to do this, and the Lord's going to work it out for me. And just decided to do that. And how many times, you know, do we fall short on that? And, you know, like you said, she probably fell short other times in the future when Jesus was growing up, and even before he went to the cross, she still had these things going on that she didn't quite understand. And it says in the scripture how she pondered things in her heart when these things went on, because she wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Yeah. She didn't understand, and yet she passed through, and we know that she believed. And we know her testimony, as we're going to see, she acknowledges her need for salvation, but, you know, Israel, it wasn't yet revealed what that looked like, really, to the people in Israel. They didn't understand yet that that meant that Jesus had to go and actually pay the price for their sin, as for our sin too, you know what I'm saying? And they without a doubt were looking for some instant glory, so to speak, you know, put Rome in its place and all the other people. So as you say, though, she chose to believe. And that is what God has called each of us to do. And I know Paul exhorted Timothy to war good warfare by the prophecies that had gone before by the laying on of hands. And there, the word of God has been spoken to each of us, both in the word, that is the 40 books of that make up the Bible, but we've all received things that have been spoken to us. I know that there's probably not a one of us listening here who has not had Davy speak and us hear and take heed. And if you haven't yet, I exhort you to take that word which is spoken to you and believe it. And that's part of warring the good warfare by it. Because our natural man goes through periods where it finds it hard to believe such a thing can be true. And yet, if we will believe, we can receive all that the Lord has for us. And that's what he wants. So, it's a
I know for me, thing. I, you know, have had times that I've had the word spoken to me on several occasions and I haven't received it, and then all of a sudden, you know, I have received it, and then, you know, I wonder, why didn't I hear it before? You know, I just, all of a sudden it clicks. And that's why it's good to have these things over and over, and like the ministry website, to have those things, to go in there and read those things and listen to those things over again. You may not hear it the first time, but then all of a sudden you do, and you get it.
Amen. And, you know, that's the hope we have in Christ, is that, you know, I mean, talk about nothing is impossible with God, even us getting it. Isn't it a wonderful thing, the hope we have in Christ? And I wanted to read what Bob wrote here in the chat. It says, there were times that showed and this is in the Gospels he's speaking about, that Mary didn't fully understand who Jesus was and what he was here to fulfill until his resurrection. So, you know, we look at these people and, you know, that we see what God can do. And then when we look at one another and we can see what God can do. And then when we take heed, we can see what God can do. And it's, you know, God is doing mighty things, and he's raising up a people that will now go forth and declare what God can do and what he has done, you know, and the sufficiency of that which God has done. And it is incredibly wonderful to be a partaker of God, his salvation, and his work. So,
amen.
I pray that we'll all continue in exhorting one another in him and in service to him. So we will pick up on verse 39 of chapter 1 of Luke next Wednesday, and I thank everybody for joining us, and God bless you all, and thank you, Karen, for sharing this hour with me.
And thank you, Robin. I enjoyed it. God bless everyone.
God bless.